couple of weeks ago, I was privileged to hear Ralph Walker quote a prayer from a fellow named Ole Hallesby. I'd never read it, never heard of him. He's a Norwegian theologian from the first part of the 1900s. Ole Hallesby. And I just want to start tonight by reading this prayer to you. It's a very brief prayer. And I just want it to sink in. Just let it settle in for just a moment as we begin our lesson tonight. Here's what he prayed. Lord, if it be your will, heal suddenly. If it will glorify you more, heal gradually. If it will glorify you yet more, may your servant remain sick. And if it will be to your greatest glory, take him home to be with you. Have you ever heard a prayer like that? Or let me ask the more important question. Do you trust and love God enough to ever pray a prayer like that yourself? If it will be to your greatest glory, let me stay sick, or let me even die. Wow. That is a surrender to God. That is praise and trust. I want to talk tonight a little bit about prayer and what the goal of prayer is. And I want that prayer that we've just heard to be the backdrop for what we want to understand. We're going to go to what we often call the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. If you're using a pew Bible, that's on page 811. We're going to take a look at the first couple of statements there. And I want us to understand two things. What is the purpose of praying? And when do we know prayer is working? Those two things go together. And I want us to notice that from Jesus' model prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Before we unpack that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Glorious God, you are magnificent and awesome. You are the worthy creator, king, sovereign, savior. May your name be lifted up, set apart, hallowed, and treated as holy. May everything we do tonight be about your glory and not us. May this lesson be about your glory and not mine as the one that's presenting it. Not this church's as the one that's hosting it, but you, our great host. And we ask that, as has been our wish for years for many of us, but the beginning anew tonight, that your kingdom will come and will spread and your will be accomplished and done here in this world, in this earth, as it is in your abode in heaven. May we be prayers that bring glory and honor to you. And Father, we have our wishes and our desires about so many things that go on in our lives. But above all, may we be about your glory. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray these things tonight. Amen. When we consider the idea of the purpose of prayer, we take a look at that very first statement in Jesus' model prayer there in Matthew chapter 6. You know, it's interesting because I've rarely seen that first statement as a request, but I've come to realize that is exactly what it is. It is the first request of Jesus' model prayer. After he offers up the praise of our Father in heaven, our Father. I hope many of you are thinking about this morning's lesson. Our Father in heaven. And then he offers the first request. Hallowed be your name. Your name must be hallowed. It must be holy. It must be sanctified and set apart and lifted up. That's not just merely a statement of praise because, well, we've got to get the praise out of the way before we get to the good stuff. That is a request. But neither is it just the first request in a list of requests. What we need to see in that statement is the entryway to prayer, the foyer, if you will, to what prayer is supposed to be about. That statement governs everything else that Jesus has in this model prayer. It is the foundation for everything else that Jesus offers in this example of how we are supposed to pray. It is the mindset and the attitude and the goal and the purpose that makes anything else that we do in praying worthwhile. And I want you to notice what it is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Not let my name be hallowed. Not let me be lifted up. Not let me be glorified. Not let me be magnified. Not let everybody know how awesome I am. But God, may you be lifted up. May you be hallowed and honored and glorified and magnified. Let that happen, God. That is what this world needs most. And that is what my prayer needs to be about. The purpose of praying. The purpose of every prayer is that God be glorified. I understand that in different particular prayers, we might have different subordinate goals. We may be wanting to make some requests. We may be wanting to confess our sin. We may be wanting specifically to praise God. But whatever the subordinate goal in any individual prayer, we need to understand that the goal of every prayer is that statement. Hallowed be your name. To God be the glory. This really shouldn't surprise us. Look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, we find out about the entirety of the goal of our Christian walk. If you're in the Pew Bible, that's page 976. In Ephesians chapter 1, as Paul is talking about the great things that God has done, I want you to notice a couple of verses there. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And what was the purpose of his will? To the praise of his glorious grace. And then we drop down to verse 11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And then in verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. The whole duty of man is to bring glory to God. That is our purpose for existence, and that is our purpose for turning to Jesus Christ. To bring glory. That is the purpose of every Christian, our walk, when we wake up in the morning, the reason for our day is to bring glory and honor to God. And because that is the case, we should not then be surprised to find out that every one of our prayers is about bringing glory to God. Every praise, every thanksgiving, every intercession, every petition, every confession, the goal is that God would be lifted up and glorified. I think we need to grasp that because most have the idea that the purpose of prayer is to get what I want. The purpose of prayer is to let God know what it is that I want. And I think sometimes we have the idea that, well, there are some formulations I have to go through to get what I want. So yes, I need to praise God properly. And of course, I have to confess correctly. And if I do that, then when I petition, God will give me what I want. If I get those formulas right, God will give me what, and that's prayer. But we need to understand that that is not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is not to get what I ask for. The purpose of prayer is to glorify God. The purpose of every prayer is glory to God. And we could walk through the Bible and look at prayer after prayer after prayer. You can go to the Psalms. And certainly in the Psalms, there are numerous praises that demonstrate this, but I encourage you to consider even the laments. How many of the laments you find are actually about God's glory? But I just want to look at one example. We're going to look in Isaiah chapter 37. In Isaiah chapter 37, you can find this in your pew Bible on page 597. In Isaiah chapter 37, we witness a prayer that to me is so stunning and humbling. If you're not familiar with the Bible and its story, if you're new to the Bible, we're glad that you're here. You may not be aware that the Jewish nation very early on got divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel spurned God the entirety of their history, and God sent the nation of the Assyrians to conquer them and take them captive. And after that nation conquered and took captive the northern kingdom, Sennacherib, its king, turned his sights on the southern kingdom, Judah, where Jerusalem is. And he sent his messenger with a letter. And basically, that letter said, I've been whooping everybody, and their gods haven't helped them a bit. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to whoop you. And your God's not going to be able to do a thing about it. And Hezekiah, despite having made some errors early on in his kingship, in his reign, at this point he's finally figured out how he's supposed to do this. And what's really important. And what really matters. And so he takes this letter and he lays it out before God. And this is his prayer in Isaiah chapter 37 and beginning in verse 16. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations in their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, O Yahweh, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are Lord. Put yourself in Hezekiah's shoes. What would you be concerned about? Physical safety, legacy, my house, my stuff, my city, my children. Hezekiah had a reason that he wanted Israel to be delivered. He wanted Judah to be delivered, Jerusalem to be delivered. And I don't pretend to be so naive to think that Hezekiah was completely pure, completely altruistic. I wouldn't be so naive as to think that. But I tell you what, why did he want Judah delivered? His stated reason is so that everyone will know Yahweh, you alone are God. God, he has spoken against you. He has mocked you. He has said you are like all those other gods. Do not let him think that. Do not let any of the nations of the world think you are like their gods. You show your glory. I mean, this is kind of a foundational, basic kind of survival request. Keep us alive. But it wasn't for the purpose of keeping us alive. It was for the purpose of God's glory. That is the purpose of prayer. And when I grasp that that is the purpose of prayer, that all of a sudden changes my mindset on when prayer is working. Go back to what we call the model prayer there in Matthew chapter 6. If you turned from it in your pew Bible, it's page 811. And notice the second request. After that entryway of prayer, laying the foundation that my prayer and everything I pray, God, is about your glory and about lifting you up, the next thing he prays, the next request, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me take care of some administrative details on this real quick. I have heard preachers claim that this part of the prayer about your kingdom come, we can't pray that anymore. Because the kingdom has already been established. A couple things about that. The kingdom has been established. That happened on the day of Pentecost. After Jesus' resurrection. That is true. But this is not a prayer that the kingdom be established. This is a prayer that the kingdom come into the world as it is in heaven. And that has not yet happened. We cannot pray for the kingdom to be established. But we can continue to pray that the kingdom of God will come into this world. And that the will of God will prevail throughout this world as it does in heaven. And we need to understand that in this request, we see the key of effective prayer. The key of knowing when prayer is working. When I think that the purpose of prayer is to get what I want, when do I think prayer is working? When I get what I want. When I think that the purpose of prayer is to get God to do what I ask, I believe that prayer is working when I get what I ask. But when I understand that the purpose of prayer is to bring glory to God, that changes my understanding of when prayer is working. Prayer is not working because I got what I wanted. Prayer is working when God is glorified. And understand what this request says. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, throughout earth, as it is throughout heaven. Would it be ridiculous to say this? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But start with him. Start with her. Start with them. Get it to go through the entire earth, but leave me alone. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? If I am going to pray the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, where do I want that to start? The heart and soul of that request is, God, reign right here. Your kingdom be right here. Your kingdom, your will, your rule, your reign, your sovereignty. Start it here. And that is when prayer is working. Prayer is not working when I bend God to my will. Prayer is working when I, by my praying, am bent to God's will. When I am becoming more like Jesus Christ by my praying. When I am surrendering more and more to the reign and rule of my glorious God. When I am becoming more and more of a representation of His image. When I am shining His light more and more. That is when prayer is working. Again, we can look at all kinds of examples about this throughout Scripture, but I just want to look at one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, page 970 in the Pew Bible. Here is the Apostle Paul. And he explains to us here at the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he has received some tremendous revelations. He has had some amazing spiritual experiences. But following those experiences, the devil has impaled him with a thorn in the flesh. And God has let it happen. And reminiscent to Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane three times, Paul prays three times. And listen to what it says. Beginning in verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Three times he asked, he petitioned, he requested, take this thorn away. And three times God said, no. No. Paul didn't get what he asked for. Did the prayer work? Yes. Yes, it did. Because the goal of that prayer was not to get what Paul asked for, to bring glory to God. And Paul, because of this thorn in the flesh, learned humility. And through humility, was able to boast in God and bring glory to God. Did Paul's prayer work? Yes, 100%. Because that's when prayer is working. Not when I get what I ask for. When I become more like God, no matter what I get. And I want you to think about how these two things govern the rest of this prayer in Matthew chapter 6, page 811. Some other things that he says in this prayer, I want you to think about how these two principles color these requests. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Certainly there's a sense in which that brings glory to God because it demonstrates our dependence upon God. But I'd like you to think about that request in the context of Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Just listen to this. Two things I ask of you, the proverbialist wrote. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. That's one. Now listen to the second one. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. That request for daily food is not just a request that God will give me what I need and is working when God gives me what I need. That is a request for God's glory, because it's what this is about. Don't give me too much, Lord, because if you do that, I'll deny you. I'll begin to believe I'm self-sufficient and you won't be glorified. But Lord, please, don't give me too little, because then I'll be tempted to steal. And when one of your children steals, it profanes your name. Give me just enough. Give me my daily bread. You know what that prayer is about? That prayer is not about my needs. That prayer is about God's glory. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Wow, what a prayer. You know, that's not just a request for my spiritual needs. Interestingly, it's the only request with a condition. And what's the condition? Forgive me as I forgive others. Do you see what that actually is a request for? That's really a request for God, make me like you. In fact, God, don't give me what I need spiritually until I've become like you. I need to forgive as you forgive. That's a request, make me like you. Bend me to your will. Let me love the way you love. Let me be compassionate the way you're compassionate. Let me give mercy the way you're merciful. Let me forgive the way you forgive. Make me like you. You understand that prayer is not working when we get forgiveness. That prayer is working when we become forgiving. Like God. Because that's when he's glorified. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I am not smart enough to answer all the questions that request brings up. I have some struggles with what that question means, what that statement even means. Lead me not into temptation like God ever would. But I tell you what I do know. Is that's a prayer, God, rule in my life. God, you be the leader. You be the guide. I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to follow me. You're my deliverer. You're my ruler. Not the evil one. Not me. You. That prayer is working when God is my leader. When he's my king. When I'm glorifying him. And some manuscripts include there, as some of our translations do, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. How long? Forever. Amen. Can there be any greater statement of God's glory? Mine is not the kingdom. Mine is not the power. Mine is not the glory. God, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And because of that, I have been praying for your glory. For your kingdom. For your will. Because of that, I have been praying that you may be glorified, Father. That's what that's about. That's prayer. That is the purpose of prayer, and that is when it is working. And so I go back to the prayer that we started with, and I want to read it to you again. From Ole Hallesby. Lord, if it be your will, heal suddenly. If it will glorify you more, heal gradually. if it will glorify you yet more, may your servant remain sick. And if it will be to your greatest glory, take your servant home to be with you. Now that's a prayer. How are you doing at that? If you'd like to at this time, please put your Bibles and notes away. You can pull out a songbook if you'd like, but we will sing one more song, and the lyrics will be up on the screen behind me. If it will be to your greatest glory, God. I want to remind you, I'm going to be here tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. It's the first Monday of the month. I'm going to be here to spend some time in prayer. If you would want to join me, I'd love for you to be here. I know there's some others that are getting some other times set up. I'm super excited about that. That's great. We'll be getting all that information out to you. But I'll be here in the morning if you want to join me. And that prayer will be working. When God is glorified and we're becoming more like Him. And I pray tonight, because I know it is to God's great glory when people confess Jesus as King and ruler and turn their lives over to Him, that the kingdom of God spreads to one more soul, to one more heart, to one more mind. And so we're going to sing this song. We're going to give you an opportunity. If you want to bow your knee before King Jesus and let Him cleanse you in the waters of baptism, we'll let you confess your allegiance to Him as Lord, as the Son of God, and admit your desire to change and repent. And then we'll bury you with Him in baptism and raise you to walk in a new life tonight. When we sing this song, you just walk to the front. We'll help you with that. Will you do that right now? Won't you come, please, as we stand and sing?